Thank you very much. Takes me back to camp, that song. Lots of good camp songs, and that was one of my favorite ones. But thank you very much. And the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Who shall I be afraid of? Let us pray. Gracious God, help us to embrace the strength that you give to us, especially through the gift and the witness of Jesus. Help us, O Lord, to be willing to say, yes, here I am, and follow you, to be able to be eager to serve you, knowing that you are the true purpose and reason for life. We thank you, O Lord, that we can call upon you in the midst of our darkness and that you will provide light, especially the light of your love. For this we proclaim our love as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's scriptures obviously beckons the question, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And not to just be a member of the church or come on Sundays, but to really ask yourself, what does it mean to follow and obey Jesus every day, tomorrow, the next day? To be able to really take up that response to his summons, as we heard in that wonderful song. He summons us, and it's not going to be easy. I wonder, as the disciples, Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they immediately left their nets, their boats, their father even. Yet I wonder if they knew what they would have to sacrifice. Ultimately, even their lives, because they chose to follow Jesus. So what motivates you to answer the call? To put your commitment to Jesus above everything else, your professions, your need for security, money, even family. Perhaps a better question is, what prevents you from following Jesus? What is the fear that you have about what you might have to give up? What's the fear of the unknown, of what the future holds when you follow Jesus with your whole heart and life? Our psalm for today reminds us that if God is our light and salvation, if God is the stronghold of our lives, then what should we be afraid of? Who can take that away from us? And I can't help to think that that's what maybe the disciples suddenly realized. That if you have the vision, if you have that sense that this is the purpose to life, following Jesus, if you have that dream, then you can have the courage to also follow. One of my inspirations for many years now has been Bishop Desmond Tutu. And a couple years before he died, he wrote a book called God Has a Dream, A Vision of Hope for Our Time. And I highly recommend the book. He shares how he deeply believed that God has a dream for all of his children to live in peace and harmony, to respect each other's dignity, regardless of skin color or economic status. He was arrested numerous times as he fought against the unjust system of apartheid. When he's asked what kept him going, what enabled him to set aside his fears, he said it was the realization that he was participating and helping to share and make God's dream come true. He was doing God's will. And the constant motivation was his stronghold and a source of life, a source of hope. He writes, "Dear children of God, before we become God's partners, we must know what God wants for us. I have a dream, says God. Help me realize it. It is a dream of a world where ugliness, poverty, its war, hostility, its greed and harsh competition, its alienation and disharmony can be changed into a glorious counterparts, where there will be more laughter, joy, and peace, where there will be justice and goodness and compassion and love and caring. Yes, I have a dream that swords will be beaten into plowshares, that spears will be turned into pruning hooks, when my children will know that they are members of one family, the human family, God's family, my family." But as we all know, that's challenging. That's easier said than done. Even St. Paul found this out as he tried to provide guidance to Corinth. He saw firsthand this ugly tendency to divide and conquer. And yes, with even in the church. And he pleads with him. And he could almost hear his voice getting more and more frustrated and angry. And I could almost say it, "Brothers and sisters, for the sake of Christ, would you all be in agreement with one another? That there be no divisions among you. That you be united in the same mind and have the same purpose." He's so frustrated that some say, "Oh, I follow Apollos. I follow Cephas. I'm better than you. I was baptized by them." But Paul doesn't want anybody who feels they're better than others and to follow only Christ. Because Christ was crucified for us, not Paul or Apollos. The vivid reminder that Paul keeps in front of them, which should remind all of us, is the cross. The cross eliminates pride. It doesn't allow room for us feeling superior over the other. The cross, I think, is probably the ultimate paradox. It's a symbol of death, of weakness, being vulnerable. And yet for us, it's the symbol of power, of victory over hate and death. The ultimate power that transforms us. The cross is included in God's dream. It is the one path that we need to follow for reconciliation and motivation to follow Jesus. We must never forget, what's the first words of Jesus' mission according to Matthew? It's the same words that John the Baptist. Repent! Repent! For the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent of our fears, of our inclination to stay put when Jesus calls us, or even head the other direction. Repent and turn toward God. Have the courage to set aside everything and follow Him. For in the end, He is the light in our darkness. He is our freedom from our sin. He is our anchor in the midst of life's storms. May we get excited when Jesus invites you. Maybe it's through a pastor. Maybe it's through a choir member. Maybe it's through a school board member. Maybe it's through a youth member. When they come up to you and say, "Hey, join us. Come and be a part of us. Contribute to this important ministry. Help fulfill God's dream." And I pray that we will all say, "Yes. Here I am, God." Today we'll be singing the song, "Here I Am, Lord." And that song always makes me cry, I have to confess, because in June it'll be 40 years when it was sung at my ordination. And the reason it was sung was because I had a youth pastor who found it through the Catholic Church. And we used to do things all together. It was written by a Catholic priest. And I always hear that song as a part of why I answer God's call. And I have to confess, my answer to the call wasn't some wonderful conversion experience. It's because I looked around and who was having the most fun? It was my youth pastor. I wanted that. And sometimes God uses anything possible to motivate us, to help us see that this life that we follow also includes joy. It also includes a life fulfillment. And so I invite you, as we sing that song, really put yourself in the midst of it, willing to say, "Here I am, Lord." And I guess that's why I've been here for the last year. Here I am, Lord. But I've been very grateful for being able to respond to God's call and that God has called me to be with you as well. So, indeed, may the Lord's peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.